This morning I'm turning to the first book of Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I read to you verse 12 and 13. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. These are the words we are meditating on this morning. These are the words of Apostle Paul here, and our subject for our thinking is God's mercy, every sinner's hope. God's mercy, every sinner's hope. And now, pay yes, and work a cry, I can have Apostle Paul, and I come ahead, and I hear you in your home, and pay now, the that's what they say, Yako Pomo Brohun, the bonny, Nibia, Nidaso, God's mercy, every sinner's hope. And if we look at the verses, in verse 12 of this passage, Apostle Paul here thanks the Lord Jesus Christ, who made him able minister, able and faithful minister of the gospel. Apostle Paul was an apostle and a preacher of the gospel. So he thanked the Lord for making him, because of the Lord who put him in the ministry. So he thanked him for that. And it is also he who enabled him, because he gives all that we need. And so he gave the glory to the Lord, all the glory of his ability to serve him in the ministry. Read the history of Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. See so much he did. Sometimes you are amazed. Always, there's one point that always surprises me. At some point he was beaten at an Israel, so they thought he was dead. And then we are told the next day, no, they realized he got up. The next day he was preaching. See, that tells us the kind of enablement, apart from the spiritual, I mean, the physical enablement. So what he's saying here is not just mere words. He meant what he's saying. So the Lord enabled him to be a faithful minister. So he gave all the glory to the Lord for both the strength and the gift. And it is God who gave us strength and a gift to his true servant to be faithful. You see, nowadays when we talk of faithful pastors or ministers or preachers, we look at the numbers that follow them, that also, but that's not faithfulness. Mere having numbers is not faithfulness. Faithfulness has to do with the preacher or the pastor or the minister of God being able to lead the people, the church, to leave the world and sin and love God. That's faithfulness. Being able to lead people, sinners, to be saved from sin by coming to the gospel, believing the gospel, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, and by that having a grace in their heart to be separated from the world, from sin, and to love God. That is faithfulness. So I was first talking of faithfulness. Today, as I said, people think faithfulness when you have a large crowd and then they don't know God. Large crowd, they have no knowledge of scripture. They don't even fear God. No. Here he's talking about faithfulness, but the Lord enabled him himself to be faithful and also to labor for him. Okay, that's not my concern about this morning, but let's move on. And in verse 13, that is my main point. That's where I will dwell on as we go on. He Apostle Paul recounted his sinful life before the Lord said him. How and who and what he was doing. What he was doing before the Lord saved him. And he showed how he was committed to sin. And that is true of every true Christian. Every true Christian was once a habitual sinner. Everyone who is genuinely, when I say Christian, I'm sure we know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about anyone who goes to church. I'm talking about anyone who is genuinely converted, whose heart is for the Lord, who's living in this world, not for himself, for herself, but for the Lord, because the Lord has saved him from sin. This is what I'm talking about. Okay. Verse 12, Apostle Paul, or the Christ, he read the Christ as he said. or to me a man, any acquaintance of over years, ne Nakua, I want to pray the credium or funds and panel. Nanakua no bears or you'll be a postman or cancer, but also a thing I mean, I'm sorry. So the radiance of one more or to me a year and a crop was a fine so. Into a day, and you near in Yadima, Radis, or man, some home in it, sir, a chadiano. And I make us say, sir, dear, no, so I hope my opioid and aqua within the grave, you said. I'm going to mark yang a hording and a quiet bit to your fasso. It didn't do my because I never really can't be a warrior. We didn't come and put my friend, the paper, and it's not so. A bit to me, the rash, you're right, yeah, is Christ, or no one can tell me a couple. And say, in a because of you on a call, verse 13, verse 13, no, no, for no, or church, Nina, Nabra, Boss, said, Nabra, Bonia, no, Bo, Mran, Yangin, and Pansan, Ebejinapa, Yakis, Bejinapan, and Brabano, Tim, Liponia, now, or you're not for school, come once over the state. And I'm the only Beginaso, in Nano, Pivestate, in Fairs, Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. So, in the middle, now, because the ensemble can any cramma will be beyond your Christonia or any cramp, Yamu Wajano. If we said Christonia, the Bajo, now to Bonnie, Christonia, Bia, or Bonnie, and Natty Churno, because I will who's a Bonnie Atticho, Unyamba. I was like, I'm going to Jono, say, we will be a woman, Bonnie, Bonnie Pia, or Bonnie Atticho, as I could watch. So, I was for Kennedy, I show you, Janona, Yabesh, near Yabu, Nanope. So let me read to you verse 13 again. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. So this was Apostle Paul's description of his former life before the Lord saved him. And now, as I gave you a little hint, the history of Apostle Paul recorded for us in the book of Acts before his conversion. You know, in the book of Acts, we have his history before his conversion, and that afterwards, he became a Christian. The work he did, they are all in the book of Acts. The history before his conversion gives us a commentary on what he's saying here. So these are just a few words, but what he did is recorded there, so that if you want to know more of what he's saying here, you read from what said about him before he was converted. Let me cast that for support. Sir, in some background, I can't convert him when, sir, answer, and now you'll be a Ogunyamimufi. Was also taught that Christopher no oye and oye injurious. It's beyond. I think it's could be or hurty. That's the key. Somebody who hurts and their mom is like could be umbuadi. So that would be like the blasphemy. So I wanted the key, but I cannot remember. But then oye my kayakadi, yes. Or tete nipa. How yakayakadi or you be that means Obiana or why your money? It's here Christopher. That's what I said Juma no dear. So that's the picture of him before his conversion. So let me just give you a few things. We are told that in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, about Stephen. You know, Stephen was one of the early Christians that suffered martyrdom because he was a great preacher, and the Jews killed him. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we are told, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Saul was supporting those who killed Stephen. If you read the book of Acts, the book of Acts, you see how they killed Stephen. They stoned him to death because he was preaching to them to rest their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the Lord Jesus Christ was God who came on earth, and they hated him for that and they killed him. Apostle Paul said, I was, when he was consenting, he was part of those. We are told that even they gave their overcoat to him to hold it so they can stone him to death. That was his word. And also, he persecuted the entire church at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 8, verse 3. As for Paul, he made havoc of the church, destruction to the church, entering into every house and telling men and women, committing them to prison. You see, he wasn't just, okay, they come to the meeting place. He identified those who go to the meeting place, he go to their houses, and arrest them to be cast into prison. And Acts chapter 9, also 1 to 2, and saw yet breathing out threatening and slaughter, murder against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. You see? And yes, Okofi, you question before you go, let the fee, a sophom for you, one or Kobe before Damascus. No, call down, and you have to say, for you, your mother, and you can come home. So that was what he was doing. But then, when we think of Apostle Paul in this, in human estimation, we say, oh, this person is beyond salvation. That also, who say? The shop of support, and the Juma no DTA, Christopher, and the one you're talking about, oh, look away there, a bank, 5 years, and who bet you'll be a band there. Or far away. That never come. Even the early Christians were surprised when they heard that he had been converted. A Christopher, no Quran, apostles in the Christopher, no. Almost as Apostle Paul said, oh, he's our sacra. I bet Christian, you can't mess him. No, I'm not in the ashes. So you see how serious his case was. So that what he's telling us here is not just, yes, there are real things that happened in his life. But he tells us the cause of his salvation. But I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy, meaning that God's mercy secured his deliverance from a life of sin and a rebellion against him. I obtained mercy. So God was God had sympathy on him. He had a sympathy on such a person who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. Because Yakupon a jeno, if you say only mobile, no jeno. But we will come back to, we will go into a bit details into the various things he spoke to us about. But let's think more about, some of these things, as he said. And the sins he's speaking about, they are just three, but every sinner has so many sins. But again, pick those ones which were so, he was so much committed to. And this picture to us, all who are object of God's mercy. Apostle Paul, all she says, I'm a born here with Tim Noah and Hopo Mobrohu. I didn't know who man. A chunk for next train, basically, my Omoa and Hopo Mobrohu, or the mom. You see? God, the Lord Jesus Christ said that he came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come to save the righteous. You see? So that Omoa, Omotia, Boni Moa, Omoa, Yaputom, Omoa, Yaku Mobrohu, and a bomb. So the picture is, his life and his description, the description of his former life, picture to us, and how God came to him to help him, picture to us those that God's mercy is for. And in fact, throughout the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said it, and that is true. In the Old Testament, God is merciful to those who are lost, in sin. But as I come to that, I will show that there are category of those who have lost in sin that God will not have mercy on them. They are also there, but God is merciful to those who are lost. But so here he said he was a blasphemer, meaning he made mockery of God's truth. He ridiculed God's truth. I was a blasphemer. That's what he's a blasphemer. The God's truth here is the gospel. Because in the Old Testament, for the whole Testament, but then he was among the Jews that persecuted the gospel when the Lord Jesus Christ left. He was among the Jews that ridiculed the fact that Lord Jesus Christ claimed that he was the Son of God. You know, the high priest, and when they took Jesus Christ to Pilate, you know what they're saying? When Jesus Christ said that he's the Son of God, the high priest tore his dress. He said it's a blasphemy. So Apostle Paul was on this. He was a Pharisee. He was among these Jews. The Apostle Paul said, no, you'll be a senior coupon actually. Now, the case of being a coupon, you're not crying. nani pa edi ho atwetwe sa na pa twere na for support there no ye na ye nsempa na fa Kristo ho se e ka so Yesu Kristo o yakopon wa ba wiase yakopon ba no na ji fo na engine di no mo si na twetwe Yesu Kristo na nka se na nim no o mo ye twere no. So he was part of these Jews that were blaspheming the name of God, contradicting the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. At one time, Lord Jesus Christ performed a miracle, and they claimed that they told him he performed a miracle by Beelzebub. They told him, "Yes, Christ, maybe you are salvi so munjano or the obunsam tu nede this area." So this were kind of a blasphemous attitude towards him, and I was supposed to say that he was part of this group. He was part of this category who were saying all manner of things against the name of God when concerned the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, against the gospel, the promise of the gospel, which testified to everyone that righteousness is only by faith in the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That because the early apostles were preaching that Christ has risen, and this is the hope of salvation. You know the Apostle Peter's message in Acts chapter 2, I think in Acts chapter 4. He says, this is the word, Christ has risen, and this is the hope of salvation. This is the hope that righteousness is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, without the deeds of the law. You know that the Pharisees, like the Apostle Paul, and those, before he became Apostle Paul, he was Saul, sorry. Saul in those days, and those Jews, those who would not believe the gospel, one of their problems was that the gospel only tells us that there's only one righteousness to be had, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That if you obey the law, you will never be a righteous person before. And they didn't want that. For them, I remember last some weeks ago, we looked at the Pharisee and the public, and how the Pharisee said, "Well, I tithe, I fast these days, and I do all that I can." He came to be before God to claim his righteousness, not even before man. Apostle Paul was part of these people. Else he said, "I was a Pharisee." Huh? Apostle Paul or Kasaji for no Amon Sono Amon Peset Sansempa never abosh your share and say, if you have to change the way you're ready, you're going to be a shake used to move for the Muja from your home, you're born a fatty with him. And no pepper, maybe you have to change the way you're going to be a shake. That's thank you for always saying, Muno, the almost a Dabi. I'm running with this riot turning up. Important was that if you grab a Jiddy Kakam, so by the Christian, I'm right, I can't. So, Apostle Kasa, Kuya, and Mukin Sadi, and also David, there is a panic and Yenokre. If you saw Moon's brand, it's a woman, this is no more yet, and you will write the name. So, this was his attitude. He was a Jew. It was those Jews who were looking for, who think that by the law, by their so called imperfect obedience, they can claim righteousness from God. I'm sure in our time, we have people today, and also, who think that the law is by which we are able to have righteousness. Even today, some churches are like that. They teach it. They will tell you, "Yes, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, fine, but then it's the law. When you obey the law, like especially when you observe the seventh day Sabbath, or you go to church on the Sabbath day, and you don't eat some meat, and like how the old testament, that ceremonial of which, the Bible has been rejected. The New Testament have told that it is canceled. They say you have to obey all those things to become righteous. No, because that a gempoya na wa passport team ne a chief obi team say emranso na be fa so nya e chene no and then me yan so be bridge say there no e mu ka say so kwa so me menda ana chief won kwa so sa mre no na udi nambi iye nyo bia na chief won say dem mo no mo ye na friend ceremonial law o ka Hebrew o ka che say yakopo ka sa mre ni nyam no and then me yan so be kwa bo e chere say udi so be nya chene. Because Christopher will name him Mrasa Udis Amres one of the actual year. And he was that. So Apostle Paul was like this. And those who follow that, they are blasphemous. Those who think that obeying the law and also observing the 7 day Sabbath and observing the discrimination in food makes people righteous. They are in a way blaspheming God. You know what they are saying? They are saying that, well, the gospel is not so much important. They have to add this. It's a blasphemy. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to come and down the cross to purchase for us salvation. And here you are claiming that if I do this and that, God will make me righteous. It's contradicting. Like this Jews, it's the work of contradicting what Christ has come to suffer for. If obeying the law can earn us salvation, why should Jesus Christ come and die? If we say that when we obey the law, that doesn't give us salvation, we are not saying that the law is not important. The law has its place. We know the reading, I think in the book of Psalms, say that, in the hymn we sang. So the law is what? Lawful, if we take it lawfully. Okay, the law has its place. The law, the standard of life. Even if we become a Christian, the law is our standard of life. But we can never be perfect or before God by the law. So as believers, we are supposed to obey the law. By our obedience to the law, not the ceremonial, the Ten Commandments, and all its spiritual implications, the ceremonial law is abolished. The difference in meats and drinks and the Sabbath, those are the observations of the strict that Sabbath day. Not the Lord's Sabbath as a whole, but the seventh day where they observe as a Jewish, have that ceremony. It's no more binding to anyone. And even besides, when people were keeping that, it was not giving them salvation. Salvation is in Christ alone. So I'm not saying that we don't, obey the law, but that we don't obey the law to be saved. That's what I'm saying. Okay. All right. So Apostle Paul was in this category. He said that he was a blasphemer. So as I said, those who want to add anything to faith in Christ alone as salvation, they are blasphemers. Because the Bible is so clear. They are contradicting the truth of God's word. And anyone who contradicts the truth of God's word is a blasphemer. You see? They are blaspheming. They are insulting God in a way, quote unquote, sorry. So Paul, indeed, he tells us how he carried this blasphemy. In Acts chapter 26, verse 9, he said that I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Look at what he said. These are the words of Paul. I taught it myself to do many things against Christ, say Jesus of Nazareth. That name they used to mock him. When they say Jesus of Nazareth, because Nazareth was a small village, besides his parents were also poor. So they call Jesus of Nazareth is to cast ridicule on him. So that I taught to do many things contrary to the name. That means to his gospel, because Christ has died and gone back to heaven. So when he was thinking like this, he was thinking against the gospel and the church. And that's what he was doing. He said that, and a persecutor and injurious, so that he did not only mock the gospel, he not only mocked Jesus Christ and his church by discrediting the gospel, but also he undertook to his own utmost power to exterminate the disciples of Jesus Christ and to exterminate the church. That's the motive of the Jews that persecuted the church. They didn't want it to survive because they thought it was contradicting their claim of worship and their system, which it wasn't. It was they who were rather wrong because they didn't want to accept God's truth. But the Old Testament were all pointing to the Savior. And the Savior came and he told them, I have come. He demonstrated by his power, his miracles. But they said, no, you are not the Savior. Unbelief. It's like you see a prick and you put your eyes in. That's all only unbelief does. The truth is there, but no, I will not take it. Because I love my sin. That's what they were doing. So here, he wasn't only okay with, just contradicting and insulting, but he went further, as I said, because Apostle had authority before he became a Christian in the Jewish circle. Because he said that he could go to the chief to take letters to go and arrest people in a different. Damascus was in Syria, to go there and arrest people. If you don't have authority, can you do that? So he had authority in the Jewish circle. After 26 verse 11, he said that, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceeding mad against them. Look at the intensity of his words. It's somebody who is really bent on his in himself to do. And he was doing all this so that Christ, his gospel, his church will not stand. See? It's a work of Satan, a work of sin. So he used force and violence to injure believers and their belongings. So that, the persecution, if you read church history, persecution that came to Christians, they will not only kill you, they will destroy your property. They will arrest you and your property become, if there's a national persecution, then your property becomes the property of the state. It's not yours again. That was how a similar type of force trying to do. And he forced them to, he arrest you and try to tell you, Say things against the gospel. He compel you to blaspheme. That's what he was doing. So you see, he's telling us, so you drag both men and women, if they didn't care, out of their homes to put them into prison so that they'll be destroyed. Again, I come back again. But what does he say after all? He says that I obtained mercy. after looking at the description of Apostle Paul and all that he has, I said that I obtained mercy. That's what that's the most important thing. Yes, we look at the description of his life, but I say I obtained mercy. Yes, yeah, Apostle Paul and Abraham boy says, hey, you deal with your hair, we want to obtained mercy. Meaning God forgave him through the merit of Jesus Christ. Your kind is a yes, we can put in one eternal nam Christo. I obtain mercy. God's mercy for sinners is only given to us through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. So that when we repent of our sins and we come to believe and rest our hope in what He has done alone, when we come to give ourselves to Him, God, the Bible pictures this way: He gave the Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself to us. We ought to give ourselves to us to Him. His was the death and the suffering; ours is to receive the blessing. It's true way, but His was the suffering; ours is to receive. You see the difference? We have to give ourselves to Him. God, He gave Himself for us. He gave Himself to us to go to the cross of Calvary for our sinners. So we who are sinners must give our hearts and minds to Him. I obtain mercy. Yes, Christo. Instead of father who said, "Odin hum mayen," no, who not the mayen? That is bread. A woo ni a mani hunu. Or say, "Odin hum mani." Yeah, then the bread biyani. Or say, "Akoni akoni Jesus paso." That's the two ways. He gave Himself for us. To us, we must give ourselves to Him. But how hard it is to give our hearts and minds to Him because of sin. Say you should have read what would you have one in order to my about for my so say you idea home man the akuma ni adwun na make say e base my e din my e to see a be born in thee. We don't give ourselves to the Lord who suffered and died in our place on the cross of Calvary. In John 14 verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Coming to the Father to have relationship with God. A sinner, how can I have a relationship with God? The Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is only by me." This verse, some people don't want to hear. Others who say that there are so many ways to go to God. They don't want to hear. They think, "I'll go through that and that and that." Well, you can do good to God. You can do that. The other religions can lead us to God. They don't want to hear that. Jesus Christ, "I am the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life." They don't want to hear. If I pray, if it's me, I'm going to punch you, and I'm going to ask some for problems. So, and if you excuse me, I'm not paying for you. I'm almost dying. And you know, well, let all men be liars, but let God be true. If you're true for, I'm going to pay. And you know, and these are the words of God, the Son of God to us. Let them say what they will say, but we will believe what Christ has said. He is the Savior of the world. I'm going to do my kind. Yet the Bible says Christ will come. Only we are saying, "Yeah, I just want." So that no sinner can have any relationship with God except he or she is forgiven by Christ. The one who obey he said the born actually. Again, I will say this weekend after week because it is a common thing nowadays. People think they can just, "Oh, you're from Bible. Christopher." No. People think they can just go, "Oh, we are going to prayer, we are going to this, we are going to do some Christian things, and some even think of charities, and oh, we are visiting the orphanage." It's good to do those things, but none of these things can bring us to any relationship with God. But if it truly is a good place where they are praying properly, that's fine. But as I told you in Ghana here, we know all this so called prayer. It's all about reacting your mouth. And then a town for a deal with you. Why the Bible says we should pray for our enemies that you have mercy in, so that or town for scrum the man is your. So how can you give water to your enemy and say prayer, "God shall kill your enemy"? Some they call some of the prayer, "Die." Then also say, die. Who should die? They are murderers. The Bible says, the commandment that we should not kill, if I desire the death of somebody, I'm a murderer. So in a case, in any way, those who want their enemies to die, they are murderers themselves. That's the fact. Because it's when you are angry with somebody without proper cause, you are murderer. And how can you pray that God should kill somebody? You are not only God take vengeance. That's why even believers, if people hurt us, the Bible tells us we should leave it in the hands of God. We shouldn't call anything on them. Because the vengeance is mine, our recompense. So we don't need to think evil of anybody, even if they've hurt us. But we should rather think them that the Lord should change their heart. Even if we are believers, you see how the Lord wants us to be. But look at the general Christianity out there, enemies, that. I'm not lying, I'm sure we are all aware of these things. It is no prayer. It is from the Satan. It's from the devil. The Bible doesn't teach that. Okay? The Bible said that in the Lord's Prayer, it said that, forgive us our trespasses. As we what? Forgive others their trespasses. How can God, you say God should forgive you, but then others, God should kill them. How can you be forgiven? You see? So sometimes you think of all that is going on, and people call Christianity. It's not. Christianity is that which is according to the Bible. If, as Prophet Isaiah chapter 8, that if they don't speak according to this law, then there's no light in them. People think, well, prophets should still be there. What they are doing, is it what the prophet did in the Bible? Compare it. It's not. The prophet in the Bible didn't do that. They didn't come and tell people about their traveling, whatever. They came to give a word of God, which advice. They came to give prophecies, which what? Advice. Which we have the records to live our life on. Sometimes I tell people, okay, you say prophet should be there. Okay, so one prophet give prophecy in that church. Another give prophecy in that church. Another give prophecy in that church. What is God doing? God is one. And his ways are one. The prophecies in the Old Testament, let those of us in have to read it. Let those in other places read it. Let those, we all come to the same understanding. But one so-called prophet give another one. Another so-called will give another one. They say God has given them. And they contradict themselves. God never contradicts himself. Even from the law God gave to Moses. All the prophets that came, they prophesied according to the law of Moses. So if people are prophesying today, they are according to the law of Moses. That's how we gauge the truth of God. The truth of God. Okay, that's just by the way. But then, we are thinking of God's mercy. So that, unless we have come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have any relationship with God. We lie if we ever claim. Until we have received mercy. My question to you, have you obtained God's mercy? Are you forgiven by Jesus Christ? That's the question. See, when we talk about forgiveness of it, has to be God's mercy. That's what God's mercy is. It's not about people thinking, well, Yami Humo Bona or Tinibone. No, God's mercy is that He will forgive us our sins and change us. Because all those that God will show mercy to, He changes their hearts. He will not forgive your sin and let you sit in your sin. Look at Apostle Paul. I'm sure we know he who is telling us this. Look at his life afterwards. When he got saved, did he continue to do his truth? Yes, he's a human being, he may sin, but the very things is that were so, I mean, habitual on him. He was bent on doing, we are told. That's why when the early apostles heard Apostle Paul was converted, they didn't believe it. Oh, he's preaching. Is he really changed? Is he not really using it as a camouflage to come and take us? Until they really saw him, really. And they saw his conduct. They said, yes, he's converted. This also, by the way, that always comes. How churches today don't, they get, well, come and be a member of the church. They don't care about if the person is truly a Christian or not. No. That's why here, when people come, sometimes we tell them, we want to know if you know the Lord. I mean, do you have that testimony? Let us know how God saved you. Some people, they've not heard it before. It's true, but churches have stopped doing that. Apostle himself, what is that? He's telling that by his testimony. How God saved him from a life of sin. And every one of us, if we are saved, we know that. We know how we were, and when the Lord saved us, what has happened to us. It's simple. My churches have stopped that. That is why the churches today, many churches today, are filled with nothing. You just go there and do, and you don't see God's, I mean, power. When we talk of God's power, it's not those miracles they are doing. Life of holiness, where people fear to sin. Where people want to obey God, no matter what. That's the power of God. The power of salvation to save us from sin. So my question to you, have you obtained God's mercy? Are you forgiven by Him? And as I said, if He has forgiven you, He will change your heart. He will bring a change in you. He will give you the new birth. He will give you His Spirit. He will let His Spirit come and live in you to help you to overcome yourself and live day by day to grow in your walk with Him. That's the picture. That's how it is. But let's continue. Apostle Paul said, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Some people read this and say, oh, Apostle Paul was saying that, well, because, well, he was sinning in ignorance, that's how God forgave him. No, that's what he's saying. Apostle Paul is not excusing his sin that, well, all that I did it ignorantly, so I obtained mercy. He's not saying that. He's not excusing his sin. What he meant is that when God looked upon him, God did not hold his sin against him, but rather God had compassion on him. That's what he's trying to tell us. That though he did all these things, God showed him mercy. Apostle Paul can say, well, you have him mobile. Now that was not in the body man, no one knew. And yes, I'll just say, I'm going to mobile. And I said, Unya, I'm going to go home. If you said, no, you're not here. Well, you're not here. That's not the fact. The idea is that. Now, I'll tell you more about Prono. Rather than officer, you can put on a more brohun, said yet here. Say, no more brohun or the ma one more. I'm with you on more of one yapo tom. I'm with you say yes, one name. So, here, he tells that he didn't deserve God's mercy, but God freely forgave him. That's what he's saying. I obtained mercy. Apostle Paul didn't obtain it by doing God. He was before he was he think that he can obtain his mercy by doing the obeying the law in the way becoming like observing the laws, the ceremonial laws and everything, and himself thinking that well he will not maybe still he will not maybe in his own eyes. But he said no, now I obtain mercy in a different way. Before he thought he had mercy because he was obeying God, but now he obtained mercy in a different way. He obtained mercy in a different way, which we have. Because look at the verse 12 says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Because that's the point of his message at the verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And verse 14 says, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. You see? You see when he directed mercy? It's in Jesus Christ. I obtained mercy. But this, it was abundant. Look at why, you know why he says abundant? Because his sin, to him, his sins were so great. So he said that his sins were so great. His sins were so good to him in his own eyes, and that's how it doesn't matter. We may not have sinned as a day, but whatever sin we have committed, before God will show us mercy, we should see that so great against him. He said that, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding. Look at the word exceeding abundant. I mean, just abundance is okay, but I said exceeding abundant because every sin makes us nothing before God, every sin brings us far away from God, and it takes exceeding grace in the Lord Jesus Christ alone to bring us to Him. Boni pia e yeno apostle Paul e fene boni e because e boni so far pa jago ko e boni pia ngo esha. He said onu hu se e boni so no hu se jago ko je no Christo mu no na jago ko no mogro hu na so na dom so no sama o si o boni ni bia hu jago ko no mogro hu. So me hu se me boni e so radie ni. If you see your sins as great before God, I don't think you say that, well, I did good things, so God should cancel my sin. I always give people this illustration when we go to conversation. Look at in your community, let's say there's some a man who is so charitable in the community. He has been doing good, paying people fees, feeding people. And one day he's arrested as he was an armed robber or he was a murderer. Well, the people say, oh, he was a good man, he was doing good, so his armed robbery case should be brushed aside. No! It will never be thought like that. Because most people, most of the time, some of these armed robbers, when they arrest, they go to the community, they say, oh, he was paying, I remember for a time, the record was that he was paying people's fees, he was very good to people, but then he was robbing. But when he was arrested, the people said that, well, he was doing good, they should leave him. No, our good is that if he lives life, if we do wrong, we suffer for the wrong. If we do good, that's fine. But when it comes to God, people think, my God should accept our good and then leave our bad. It's never, the thing that normally, I said, the thing that doesn't happen in normal life, we think before God, it should happen. No. So for support telling us, he didn't deserve God's mercy, but God freely forgive him. Abundance mercy. In friends, this will encourage every sinner to come to him if we have not even come to him. It's an encouragement. And also, look at Paul's records. He said that he had mercy on me. He, because through the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave me forgiveness. You see, it's an encouragement for everyone to come and seek forgiveness in the Lord. It doesn't matter how our lives have been, it doesn't matter how we have lived in sin. When we come to ask for his forgiveness, he will never hold our sins against us. God will never hold our sins against us if we come to him. Because Apostle Paul tells us he didn't deserve the mercy God gave him, but God gave him. Do you know why? God knows how sin has ruined us. He knows how sin has corrupted us. And so he freely forgives all who come to him. God doesn't punish sinners, or he will not punish us because we were born in sin. But he will punish sinners because they want to continue to live in sin. That's the difference. At the day of judgment, people will not be judged because they were born sinners. People will judge because when they were born sinners, they came to live and sin. People will judge according to what they have done, not because they were born in sin. So you see, God is merciful. That's why we believe that infants will go to heaven. Because infants, they are sinners, and they have not committed any sin. You see, that's where that doctrine, we don't have a word to word in the Bible, but God is so merciful that he who, and according to the Bible, God will punish us according to our sin. Infants have not committed any sin. In counting them. So God will not, that's why we, and look at the mercy of God. God will not take infants to hell. God deals with stubborn sinners, Satan himself, those who are given to sin and they are not willing to repent. So we know that though God will show mercy, and that God promised mercy in the gospel, but those who despise that promise to come to him, who despise that offer to come to him, those God will hold their sin against them by day of judgment. God will hold our sin against us if we never repent and come to seek mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, there will be no mercy for them. If we die, there's no mercy. If Christ comes, there's no mercy. So you see, if we live in sin, we are living dangerous in a dangerous situation. See, we are born in more. Next, you are born in chair, and one, no. And as a crystal band, you are born in chair, and one. He said, what's your body more? What's it? You are heading on to destruction. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible tells us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Great mercy. That's great mercy. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, Jesus Christ himself, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. It's about the gospel, was it? It's about the gospel. The same gospel that we are talking about here, that Christ himself, the God himself, came to preach it, to tell us how it is authentic. That was the life of Christ. He came to preach the gospel. And then the disciples, apostles, and all these churches, true pastors and preachers, and also they also continue the same way. Again, it tells us that what we should hear from preachers. But if you care not that God has sent his son to come and die for sin, if you care not about this, you are despising your salvation. Say Christian ko pa so man ne ba aba wi as na bo won bo ne. Na me miti me wi de bon yofo na mo em fa me ho. If I'm hopra na mfu say well, the papa kakra, any Jesus Christ ne na mani hu kakra. How can I think that way? That Christ will, God should come from glory and come and die for sin. And I sit here, well, I have some good so that I'll bring it before God. If God knew that our good can bring us to Him, He wouldn't have sent His Son to come and die. See, Jesus Christ, if you Him, you be one more body. Now, me, dear, I'm going to say, 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 that is it. So, if we despise that, we despise mercy. My question to you again, are you just concerned with life here? Wow, Tim, and then Abrabwe Mupena, when I mean, say Abrabwe Mun, some quite a yo, a particular now. Are you concerned with life here while your sins are piling up? Emra, would you have Abrabu, your money here, and one is here then? A cost. Are you concerned about just life here? Will you not come to Him and yield up your heart and mind to Him? Keep up. Will you not do that? Are you just concerned with your life here? This calls for a serious reflection. Because our sins are each and every day piling up. If we can see them physically, I'm sure we'll be alarmed. But then, before God is there for us, are you just concerned with your life here? What about the life to come? What about if Christ comes today? What about if I die today? What happens to me? And God, what will be your answer to Him? I'm going to Him. Send me who are, and ask Christ to buy. That day, I know you're not a young man. So, I'm going to Christ to me if I'm born in chair. And you're going to have a man. What if you are a man? God will have no option than to punish you. That is it. God's mercy is that. And again, I read to you here, Romans chapter 3, verse 25, and almost done. God expected His mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the message of the Bible. In Romans 8, 25, referring to Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. This passage is so rich. I don't have time to say much. But then just as you see how when people are being fed, business fair, they exhibit their goods. For our salvation, God has exhibited Jesus Christ that way. So that everybody can publicly come and view Him by faith and trust in Him. By His blood, faith in His blood, then our past sins will be cancelled. Do you know what God is doing? All our past sins. Do you know why God has not come to punish us immediately? The Bible teaches on forbearance. God is holding His anger back, waiting for the day before us is right. And it's not yet in. But in that, till that time come, if we come to Him, He will save us. Friend, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give your heart to Him. So you also see God's mercy. The blood of Christ satisfies God's justice. So can you stand before God? Come to Him. Give your heart to Him. He will come and save you. Let's pray to